Seated. I didn't mention there, if you have not put in for your statement for the year, if you're given and you want to, be sure to get that done. I think Aaron is about through with that work, so you want to be sure to get that done. All right. I always like that song. I think the first time I remember hearing it sung was about 50-some years ago. We had came to Dublin Mills, and they wanted us to stay and be the pastor. We don't know what we're going to pay. We don't know how we're going to pay, but we'll do something. And they sang that song that night. And so kind of stuck with me, and God's been taking care of me ever since. I used to get out a whole lot of revivals in those days, and I'll write a book about all the stories. I remember up in the northern part of Pennsylvania, I was in a revival meeting, and I was staying with a widow who was 80-some years old, and her son was about 25, and she worked away, and I was to take care of him. And he could barely talk, and he shook a lot, and he wanted me to take him down to the job center in Clearfield, and I did. We come back, he said, "Oh, I forgot the key." I said, "What's that mean?" "We can't get in." I said, "Well, do we have a spare?" He said, "I know." He said, "You come up on the porch roof, and you bang on the screen, and open, and you can get in." I said, "Okay." So he helped me. I got up on the porch. I was up there banging on it, and here rolled a police car in. "Sir, I can explain." He said, "I'm sure you can." It reminds me of a guy who got out of prison, and he wanted to go straight. He tried to get a job. He couldn't get a job. And finally he thought, "Well, I'll do something to get by for a day or two." So he saw this real expensive car. I don't know what it was, but he was going to take the hubcaps off and sell them. And he had them all off, and he thought, "I can't do this. I got to put this back. I just can't do that." And he had them all back, but the last nut on the last hubcap, and the police pulled up. Do you believe that police would believe he was putting them back or taking them off? Takes a while, doesn't it? Oh, goodness. We had some times in those days. We had some fun. We want to talk about fellowship with Christ. We're following right through in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 14, how to have fellowship with Christ. They're trying to break up our fellowship. They're trying to tell us we can't have church. They're trying to tell us that's dangerous. Too dangerous getting that church out there. You might get that COVID. You might get something else. You might get something good for you, too. I think what they're afraid of, right? Might get that old-time religion. Did you hear about the lady who was in the church, and the preacher got to preaching and sounded pretty good, and she jumped up and gave an amen. And the preacher kind of cleared his breath and went on a little bit. And next thing, she said another one. So he had one of the deacons, he's in a big church, got on that phone over there, called the head usher, said the lady over there in seat number 68, whatever it is creating a disturbance. Said, "How about getting her calmed down?" Went down there, and he bent over, and his Winston's fell out of his pocket in her lap, and she said, "What do you want?" He said, "You got to calm down." She said, "I can't calm down." He said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "I got the old-time religion." He said, "Well, you didn't get it here, so get out." So that's the way some places, right? We need to get the old-time religion. He said, there's going to be weak people among us. There's going to be differences among us. Some think you should eat this. Some think you shouldn't. Some think you should go here, some that. He said, we gotta get along, and the strong gotta help the weak. I'm afraid we've passed that gate up. We have our cliques, we have our get-togethers, but we gotta get it. First point, we gotta understand what the basis for the fellowship is. What is the basis? Years ago, I hadn't been saved too long, and I was working at a fire department in Dayton Airport, Dayton, Ohio, Vandalia. And the fire chief was a big shot, and I was witnessing to him one day. He brought his hand out of his pocket, and he started to turn the ring around. And he had this organization, he had that organization, and he had the Masonic organization. He said, "I think that about cover them all, don't you?" I said, "None of them will keep you out of hell. Not none of them." The basis for our fellowship is Jesus Christ. In 1 John 2, "For this life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and the man was manifest unto us." Notice this one, we're preaching and talking to Christians. This is to Christians. Remember that now. That which we have seen, and John is writing this about himself and the other disciples, "heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Make sure you mark that down. When you get out of fellowship with somebody or your church or whatever, you first got out of fellowship with God. That's where you left off. That's where you run in a ditch at. Like the guy run his car in a ditch. He got out of the road and flagged the car down, and he said, "Stop." The guy stopped. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want you back over here and pull me out." He said, "No, I'm not backing over in there. I'll go find somebody that got a big chain or a big hook. You're in there. I don't back in beside you." That's the way we get sometimes when we're helping some people. He said, but our fellowship is based on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get things right with him, and everything else will be right. Now, not all the other people are going to be right. And when they're not right, you just say, "Well, that's your wagon. You pull your wagon, I'll pull mine." But we must make sure we have our fellowship with Jesus Christ. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And these things," verse 4, "write we unto you, that your joy may be full." People are really looking for something to make them happy. People want joy. Do this, do that. And they spend money here, and they spend money there. Buy another new car. Buy another new this. Buy some new clothes. Go here, go there. And still they're not happy because they're not getting Jesus Christ. You need Christ in there to make you happy. The joy, we'll talk more about that. You were singing that a while ago, "My joy." Your joy comes from him. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. We're not going to have enough strength to meet all these problems coming this year if we don't have the joy of Christ. That's going to be our strength. And this is the message, verse 5, "which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all." So you see another subject coming. Point 2. If we're out of fellowship, we lose light. And if we lose light, we can't see. If we can't see, we stumble. We go the wrong way. Make the wrong turn. Make the wrong ride. You follow me? We need the light. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We have to have him. He says in John 1:1-6, "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now, a lot of people say, "I have fellowship with him." But you notice who is telling the lie, not him. We're telling the lie. We don't want anybody to know we're really out of fellowship. And we could tell. We'll see some ways here in a minute that we can tell we're out of fellowship. And one of them is, obviously, we lose our joy. And, of course, that would come about because of sin. We'll see that a little later on here. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Okay? That's what I said earlier. We can't get along with anybody if we're not getting along with God. Alone and alone. If we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we've got all that done and we're all straightened up, then we can help those who need help, but we can't help them if we're not in the light. We got the blind leading the blind. And you can get all kinds of advice. You can get all kinds of information. You can go to all kinds of counselors. But if you don't have Jesus Christ and His joy and His love, you can't help anybody else. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, again, we're talking about the church, the people in the church. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, all right? You got the Spirit. You know that you're growing in the Lord. You're saved. That if you've got that, then you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So you don't jump on him with both feet and say, you dirty, rotten sinner, get straightened up. You say, we need help. You need help. I want to help you. I want to lead you someplace. And you know, when we hit and miss with God, nobody's going to put up with that. Come home tonight and tomorrow night you don't come home, you come in the next morning and your wife's going to say, that's okay, huh? No? Yeah, that's all right. Just keep doing that. But we expect God to put up with our leftovers. Well, I can't do it this week, God. I'll do it some other time, God. I'm trying, God. I'm doing the best I can. I don't know. We need to say, look, it's okay. Follow me on this. It's okay to wash your face and hands morning, night, noon. But sometime, you got to get all your clothes off and get a bath, don't you? I mean, really. Just a little dab of a washcloth is not going to keep you. You need to get in there with a scrub brush and really get with it and get scrubbed up. The same thing with God and His church. You need an old-fashioned scrubbing. We like that. Remember that Brill cream? A little dab will do you. That's what kind of religion most people got. A little dab will do you. I don't need much more. I don't want much more. I can't stand much more. Most people got just enough to make them miserable. The most miserable people among Christians are those that got a little dab of Christianity. They know a little bit, think they know a whole lot, and they just want to make everybody else feel the same way they do. Notice verse 2 there. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fill the law of Christ. We need to help people. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. He will the next time. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. You're already condemned. We don't have to condemn people. We come to help people. Get people out from under the condemnation. And verse 3 says, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Wow. Boy, that hit that nail right on the head, didn't it? Everybody, well, let me tell you what I can do. Let me tell you what I've done. Let me tell you what I know. And they don't know straight up from straight down sometimes. It's not what you know or what I know. It's when people know you have a heart for people. And back to the kids and thinking about that little boy, 7 years old, sitting there beside his mother, right there. I can see him now. Wow. And I thought, she makes him sit right there beside her every Sunday. But you know what? It went in. And God cemented it in. They need to see we have a heart and care for them. Now, look what the problem is. Number 4, sin will blind our spiritual eyesight. I think Wood was talking a little bit about this in Sunday school. We don't see any harm in this. We don't see any harm in that. We don't see any harm in nothing. And after a while, anything goes. And our life's a wreck, and we wonder how we got there. People are saying to me, Pastor Hodge, how did we get into this? A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Like my dad used to bring that hog in so we could kill him and eat him. Have them big old overalls on, big jacket, corn in every pocket. Take it out. Peek, peek, peek. One grain at a time. Oh, pig, just come, keeps it coming. One grain at a time. Come on, come on. Is the box open, John? Yeah, the box open. I'm sitting on top of the box with that door ready to slam down. Finally, when Dad gets to the box, he throws all the rest of the corn there. The pig jumps in there, and I slam it down. The next place he's going to be is in the scalding pot. And that's the way the devil's got us, one grain at a time. Oh, there's nothing wrong with homosexuals. Those people, you don't have to agree with homosexuals. Just let them do what they want to do. That's all right. Yeah, we've done that. We're riding that train pretty fast now, aren't we? You got to have so many of them in every organization. Got to have so many of them in your cabinet. That's nice the way they're doing it, isn't it? And here's part of the problem. We got in this, and we're trying to get out the same way we got in, with more sin. 1 John 1:8 said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. We're either part of the problem or part of the answer. We have to speak out. Preachers, you've heard me say this, are the worst crowd. They have let things slide and let things slide and let things go by. And we don't want to upset anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody. So we just keep backing up. Keep backing up. After a while, there's no place to back. 1 Corinthians says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. A guy read that verse to me one time, and he said, see, we can't know that. I said, read on the next verse, dummy. It tells you in the next verse. People do that, pick a verse out, and that's the only one they know. He said, we haven't seen it with the physical eye. We haven't heard it with the physical ear. But, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God wants to probe into our hearts with his Holy Spirit. God wants to dig deep into our life. God wants to point out the little things that we think are little things and show us how they lead to worse things and bigger things and bad things. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. If you want to know God, you've got to know the Spirit of God. You've got to know you have the Spirit of God. You got to know that you're saved. Now we, talking to Christians again, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He said, we got to know God. We're going to know God if we got his Spirit. And we can know the things of God. We can get that book open. We can get our little devotional out back there, and we can read it, and the Spirit starts working in our heart. If we watch that television all the time and listen to those people all the time, we're going to go nuts, because all they got is a bunch of garbage. We need to get the Bible out. We need to get into fellowship Bible study, our Sunday school class, and we need to listen to the priest. We need to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Give me some knowledge. Give me some understanding from God. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit in verse 12, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us by God. God doesn't have them locked up in a vault in heaven and saying, who can we give some today to? God is pushing it. God's pushing his preachers. God's pushing his churches. God's pushing and saying, Get the message out. Come one, come all. Free of charge, no money. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Oh, sound familiar? We're going to follow the science. Man's wisdom. We got in the ditch by following the science. You remember when we fought against evolution being taught? They said, oh, we're just teaching it as a theory. Now the idiots got us to believe in that. 60,000 billion trillion years ago, a little dirt spot started to wiggle. And after a while, it wiggled some more. Oh, and then the moon came crashing down. A piece of it fell on the earth. And you ever notice when they talk about going to the moon, they don't say moon rocks, they say lunar rocks. That's another word for moon. It makes you sound intelligent and smart to say the lunar rocks. They got a bunch of rocks in their head, right? Yeah, and on they pushed that stuff at us, kept pushing it. After a while, a piece of the earth flung off and made something else. Then there was some algae on the pond. Green, oozy, dirty stuff. And the frog came up. That's where our ancestors came from, out of the ooze pond in the frog. And we believe it. Somehow he got from there to be a bigger frog, then he became a monkey. Now, I can, if they took all the other stuff out, I could almost believe it. Because some of these kids just act like monkeys. I mean, and you have a car pull up beside of you in town, and you wonder, what happened? Is there a helicopter landing or what? And you look over, and the cars are rocking from side to side. And some guy's sitting in there, and then he's picking his fingernails, boom, 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 boom. And then he turns that thing on to the monkey music. Yeah, really. And so we're laying the monkeys. You know I'm just making a point, getting your attention right. But the natural man, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You remember when you had to tell your kids, get in here. Oh, can we eat, Mommy? You're going to wash first. They come out, dirty water running down their arm, dirt still on their face. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't come to my table looking like that. Of course, we don't have family tables anymore. We have McDonald's and Pizza Hut and all that. Everybody sit around, throw that piece of pizza like a frisbee at everybody, and then that's our fellowship time. No, we're going to say the prayer. We're going to eat. Heard about the little boy. His dad was an evangelist out in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he went to kindergarten the first year. And the first day of school, they opened up their lunch bags. And the little boy said, teacher, we can't eat till we say grace. She said, who'll say it? He said, I will. So he prayed 3 points in a poem, man. And so next day come in, he said, teacher, don't forget, we gotta have prayer. She said, well, we thought we'd pass the prayer around, Johnny. He said, we're not passing it around. I thought of it first, and I'm going to say the prayer every day. Amen. But we don't do that anymore. It's too old-fashioned. Still don't have much time, takes up too much time. And we confuse the kids. Some of them don't believe in that. That's why we got to tell them the story, isn't it? Because they don't believe. So they will believe. Don't worry, I'm almost to the last page. So how are we going to get rid of this sin? We're talking to Christians now. Listen, 1 John 1:8, point 5, confessing our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. You don't leave your house a day but what you don't get contaminated with sin somewhere. We get it every day. If you say you don't, you're not telling the truth. Our minds, our ears, the eye gate, the ear gate, it gets in there. So we got to have a time of confessing. But he says, if we confess our sins, uh-oh. Now, that doesn't sound like a hard thing to do, but that's hard for people to do. People say now, Lord, if I sin, shut that up. Not if you sin, just start naming them. One man was trying to pray at the altar, and he said, because the preacher said, I want you all to get up here and confess your sin. He said, I can't think of any. He said, guess at it. You'll probably get one right. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. People say, Pastor Hodge, I can't remember. It don't matter. That word is plural. And to cleanse us from all, let's say it together, unrighteousness. If we're willing to confess, God said, I've got a good deal for you. If you confess what you know, I'll take care of what you don't know. Isn't that marvelous? He said, if you confess your sins, tell him what you know you've done, thought, said, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We don't have to carry burdens. Cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. He loves you. He don't want you going around with a heavy burden. He don't want you going around dragging that stuff around. God, I sinned. I know I sinned. I can't remember them all. I want rid of them. Please forgive me, God. And God says, it is done, my son. It is done. You can't get any better deal than that, can you? Can you? You don't have to say 10 Hail Marys. You don't have to throw in an extra dollar. You don't have to do anything but just say that. How does mom take care of that dirty boy coming in? She grabs him, takes him in the bathroom, strips him down, washes him off, puts the clothes on him, sits him down to the table to eat. And you know that's what God's going to do for us. Going to sit us down at the big table in the sky. Amen? We're going to be cleansed of all sin. Sitting at the table with Jesus, he'll gird himself and feed us. Wow. What's wrong with people? Why don't they want to go to heaven? Wow. So he forgives us. Then look what happens. We get our joy back. That joy of first getting saved. We need that joy every day. The joy of forgiveness. When David sinned, God's man after God's own heart, but he messed up, sinned. Psalm 51:8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. He said, I just feel like an old broken down man. Make me happy again, God. Give me my joy again. Help me, God. Please. Please help me. I want the joy. I don't like all this. Hide thy face from my sins. I'm tired of dragging this guilt around. God, help me and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. You know why? That's where sin does its work. The mind visualizes it with all those gates, but the heart. Jesus said that, didn't he? Out of hearts, that's where murders and rapes and all those things come from. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Man comes in, what's for dinner? Well, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. When you get out of the spirit, you don't have to tell anybody. But God, people know it. People know it, amen? Amen? You know when you're out of the spirit. But we're so hell-bent on not humbling ourselves and praying, ask God to forgive us. He says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not that the Holy Spirit from me. I want that back. Restore unto me, look at that last verse 12, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I'm still saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure having a miserable time right now. Give me that joy back, God. The joy of thy salvation. You gave it to me, God. You're the only one who can give it back. So we have the spirit. We have the job of being spiritual and helping other people. We have to confess our sin, have the joy of forgiveness. What's the conclusion of all this? Romans 8:1 said, once we do all that, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And now they're walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Where will the Spirit lead me? Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. People say, I say, those people got something. He's got something. I don't know what he's got, but he's got. He's too happy. Used to have a sign back a few years ago. I don't know what I did with it. I need to get it out again. Smile makes people wonder what you've been up to. Amen. We need the joy of our salvation. We need the joy of Christ. We need people to see us, and they don't have to ask. They can tell something is different in our life. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My mom used to say, John, the first wrong thing you did was go to the wrong place. That's how you got in trouble. When you're walking in the Spirit of God, you don't go to the wrong place. Amen? Go to the right place. And you get to walk in it. You like it so much. Galatians 5:25, live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us live. I know we're in a hurry. I know we got a lot of things to do. But when you get out of that bed, find a Bible. Find an altar in your house, your bedroom, your bathroom, wherever's a good place to go. Get on your knee and say, oh God, cleanse me of all unknown sin that I've committed. Help me, God, to walk with thee. Help me to help somebody today that needs God. Amen. We want to be the church that is helping people find Christ and live for Christ. Let's stand for prayer. Dear God Almighty in heaven, we come to thee today as your church. Lord, we've been crippled a little bit by all the things that the devil has flung at us. And he's dancing around, think he has us by the throat, thinks he's going to, but he's not going to do it. We're going to confess our sin. We're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to live for Christ. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. We're going to love one another. We're going to give everything to God and serve him. In his name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. And if you already feel the need to come to the altar, may not be for yourself, may be for somebody else. Don't worry about what people think. The altar's open. Just come right on. As the piano plays, if God's speaking to your heart about something, maybe someone in your family, maybe it is something in your life, maybe it's something small, I don't know, but give it to God. Let God take hold. If a 7-year-old can keep it for 40 years, you surely ought to have something in there that God is speaking to you about. Is our hymn of invitation. The altar is still open if you need to come.
Softly enter thee, Jesus is calling. should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home.
Sing the last verse.
Verse 4.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about paradise. We're going to be talking about Hades. We're going to be talking about the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. And maybe a few more things there. Okay? You might want to hear that. Thank you for coming out today. If the snowstorm don't get too bad, we should have our meeting Monday night, men, board meeting. So, let's go home. All right? Some people are trying to get away from them. Charlotte likes to stay a little longer. Over a month, she's been locked up. Got out yesterday. I didn't see her for a while. I thought I'd better go looking for her. But thank God she's in church this morning. Amen? Okay, Brother Bill, have her prayer, please.